Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the A2B Australia Limited Results Conference Call. All participants are in listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Mark Bayliss, Executive Chairman. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Chad. Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us this morning for A2B's full year 2022 results presentation. My name is Mark Bayliss. I'm the Executive Chairman of A2B, and joining me here today is Ton van Hoff, our CFO. This presentation follows the detailed update we provided to investors on the 14th of July, where we outlined our new strategy, our corporate structure, and also organizational structure. FY 2022 was a transition year for A2B, with the business needing to change and also regain its purpose. New leadership was appointed, a strategic review was undertaken, and a cultural reset implemented, all of which will align and refocus the business's priorities while reinvigorating the workforce. We're gonna start on slide three. The financial results for FY 2022 are in line with the guidance that we provided you on the 14th of July. COVID hit the business hard, with government restrictions and customer hesitancy restricting personal movement. While our revenue was up 11.7 million or 10.4%, our underlying EBITDA was down 2.6 million to a loss of 9.4 million, largely as a result of the loss of over 15 million dollars of JobKeeper assistance from the government. One-off adjustments totaled 15.3 million. This reflected a 9.7 million of asset write-downs and 5.6 million of restructuring costs necessary to put the business back into profit and positive cash flow. Our statutory EBITDA was therefore a loss of 22.3 million dollars. Having assessed our competitive position and performance, our approach for the near term is a strategy of better before bigger. This involves defending and growing the core business by focusing on increasing the size of our fleet, the number of trips, and enhancing our corporate offering. Stopping work on all non-core and loss-making businesses. We've completed the sale of our couriers business, shut down our Flamingo Pay business, and reduced our own taxi fleet by 99 vehicles across our Adelaide and Queensland sites. We've also simplified our corporate structure with a corresponding leaner and more effective organizational structure, resulting in a cost reduction of 15% and the loss of 128 positions. We've also reviewed our property strategy and have commenced the process to sell two of the three properties in our portfolio, and I will address this later in the presentation. Turning now to slide four and five. Slides four and five look at our two main revenue streams. That is fleet size and the amount of fares processed. Fleet revenue is our largest revenue stream, supporting over 40% of group revenue, and this is shown on slide four. The results of the work we've done recently saw fleet grow in the fourth quarter of FY 2022 and into the start of FY 2023. Since the 30th of June, pleasingly, we've seen growth of another 235 cars. That's in sort of six to seven weeks, something we're very pleased about. We've also seen an increase in the average trips and bookings per car in the last few months to levels above pre-pandemic. With recent fare increases being announced in some states and average fares being higher than pre-pandemic, we're hopeful that this will aid growth in fleet. However, diminished immigration and full employment will act as a brake to rapid fleet growth, and I touched on that when we spoke a number of weeks ago in the strategy presentation. Of course, another way to grow our fleet is by taking market share away from other competitors, including rideshare. The update we provided to investors in July looked at some of the things that we're doing to better improve the driver and passenger experience using the strength of our 13 Cabs brand. Slide 5. This looks at fares processed, which represents 30% of our revenue. Fares processed are now at about 85% of pre-pandemic levels and are growing about 5% per annum. Growth has continued in July with $71.5 million in fares processed. Also pleasing is the growth in automated bookings, which have grown from 51% of total bookings in July 2021 to 80% in July 2022. I'd now like to hand over to Ton, our CFO, who's going to take you through our FY22 financial performance in a little bit more detail. Ton.
Thanks, Mark. Turning to slide 6, a high-level overview of the A2B's financial underlying performance is shown. To provide some clarity around the definition of underlying results, these exclude significant items totaling to $15.3 million, and also exclude the adoption of the leasing standard WASB 16. On an underlying basis, we ended the year at an EBITDA loss of $9.4 million. This is a decline of $2.6 million on FY21. Revenue improved $11.7 million, or 10.4% compared to last year, notwithstanding a $5 million fee relief that was provided to our operators in the first half. Our core revenue streams, network subscription revenue and service fee income, were up 36% and 13% respectively. As we turn to slide 7, a more detailed breakdown of the year-on-year underlying EBITDA movement is provided. As you can see, the $11.7 million revenue improvement in FY22 was not sufficient to offset the $15.4 million reduction in government support. In addition, the impact of launching Flamingo Pay is included in the FY22 results, having a further $2.7 million negative impact to EBITDA. An improvement in net revenue margin explains the reduction in cost of goods sold by $1.1 million, as shown in the waterfall. Whilst revenue was up by $11.7 million, the net revenue margin improved through a reduction of certain low-margin revenue streams. These streams include our courier business and taxi operations business. Both these activities were earmarked following our strategic review, and since then we divested our courier business and rationalized our fleet operations business, as Mark touched on. Total year-on-year cost reduction was $3.7 million, relating to the earlier mentioned cost of sales improvements, as well as reduction in employee expenses and overheads. On the next slide, slide 8, we provide a summary of A2B's balance sheet as at 30 June. At the end of the year, we had $12.3 million in cash and overall net debt of $6.6 million. A2B remains in a financially strong position. We have a $25 million working capital facility in place, which we expect to be sufficient as our business returns to profitability and positive cash flow. In addition, we have a strong asset base for our property portfolio. This portfolio was recently independently valued between $102 and $114 million. Besides cash, there has been a lot of movement in our balance sheet during the year, and we'd like to call out a few specific items. Property, plant, and equipment reduced $9.3 million on the back of $3.9 million in asset write-offs and an increase in depreciation. Other non-current assets increased by $5.1 million, mostly driven by an increase in $12.2 million in deferred tax, as partly offset by $5.8 million in capitalized IP write-offs following the completion of our strategic review. The following slide provides further insight into cash movement in FY22. Free cash outflow ended at $14.5 million, and this was driven by negative operational cash flow of $6.2 and net capex expenditure of $8.3 million. The operational cash outflow of $6.2 million can best be explained by taking the statutory EBITDA loss of $22.3 million and by adding back the following amounts. $9.7 million in cash asset write-offs, non-cash asset write-offs. Termination provision of $1.5 million as at 30 June in relation to the restructuring program that was completed in July. and $4.8 million in positive impacts on net working capital. Through the year, there were many working capital movements contributing to the $4.8 million in change. The net year-on-year movements in receivables and payables resulted in a $12.5 million reduction in working capital. However, this was offset by COVID relief measures provided by governments, including a tax refund received in December, as well as deferral of PAYG payments. In relation to CapEx, the year-on-year increase is mostly driven by an office move in the first half of the year and lower proceeds of selling existing plant equipment relative to last year. We'd now like to hand you back to Mark to take us through A2B's operating and financial outlook and growth opportunities.
Thanks, Tom. I'd now like to give you an update on the progress on our turnaround strategy since our investor presentation on the 14th of July. So we're going to turn to slide 10, please. So slide 10 looks at the progress in our B2C division. Fleet has grown by 235 vehicles, up from 6831 at the end of June to 7066 currently, currently with an improvement towards higher fleet margin as well. The divestitures and restructuring we talked about are complete, and pleasingly, we've seen an improvement in our key performance measures of bookings, trip growth, driver engagement, and contact center service levels. With regard to our B2B business, this is slide 11, guys, and it just shows you what's been happening with fares processed. The recovery continues with taxi fares reaching $71.5 million, as I just mentioned, in July. This is now at 87% of pre-pandemic levels, and it's a two-year high for us. We've also seen an improvement in channel mix, although cab charge is lagging as corporate travel has not actually recovered as fast as personal travel. Coming to our property, slide 12. After an extensive internal consideration of our property strategy, the board decided that owning or remaining in the current sites was not the right solution for us longer term. Selling the properties will optimize shareholder value and will facilitate a cash return to shareholders. Colliers have been appointed as sales agent to manage the sale of both properties in New South Wales, and both properties are now being actively marketed. And we are targeting a completion by the end of this calendar year, obviously subject to market conditions. Final slide, slide 13, the FY23 financial building blocks. We're committed to returning to profitability this year. We're a well-positioned business and with operating conditions picking up as a result of both our recent actions and a gradual improvement in the market, we're confident FY23 will see revenue growth of around about 10%, a reduced cost base, and a solid EBITDA margin of circa 13%. We'll also see reduced depreciation amortization and reduced CapEx. And as a result of this, we're forecasting a June 2023 net debt balance in the low single-digit millions. This obviously, of course, excludes the effect of any sale of the property assets that I just touched on a moment ago. That's it for the presentation. Thank you for listening, and we would be delighted to open up the questions for Q&A. So feel free, fire away.
Yeah, thank you. At this time, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. And the first question will come from Glenn Wellham from MST Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, well done. A great result, guys. Just wanted to tease out some little bit more color on potential driver numbers going forward. I suppose the context is, around town I see a lot of billboards from Uber trying to attract drivers. And I've also seen in the ABS stats a big increase in visa applications. Are we seeing, the potential for an increase in driver numbers going forward, or how should we read that?
Hey, Glenn. Good question, mate. Absolutely. I mean, the thing to focus on here
if we want to drive our fleet, which is 40% of our revenue, is the funnel of drivers. When we presented some 6 weeks ago, I think we said that, our rates of growth were sort of running at twice that of what we're seeing in rideshare. The amount of drivers coming into our funnel has actually increased since we last spoke to you. And we're seeing in excess of 400 driver inquiries a week coming in at the moment, which is the highest level it's been for quite a while now. Obviously, some of those, most of those don't end up actually coming into the fleet. But at 400 plus coming in every week and some good conversion rates of like typically 15%, Glenn, that's good. It's also good because for operators who have perhaps had a car that they sort of mothballed up during COVID, the thing that operators like is knowing that drivers are going to be there to actually operate the cabs and therefore offer them a return. So as always, Glenn, you're on the money. Good question. But it's actually improving and we're seeing really, really good driver numbers coming in at the moment.
And the supply of vehicles, that won't be a problem if we get the increase in driver numbers?
The vehicles are now starting to come through. Little things that we're doing. So I'll give an example on Silver Service. What we have now done is we're now actually allowing cars that are either silver but now also black and white to come and join the Silver Service fleet. That's actually helped us there. We had a fantastic delivery of about 40 cars a couple of weeks ago. Supply of cars seems to be coming through. And one of the other things that we're looking at is we do have an age limit on our cars. It does sort of differ a bit by state. But if we've got a car that's, say, 7 years old, but has got is really, really nicely maintained, is nicely turned out, and has actually got low kilometres on it, then we are actually using our ability to let cars like that come and join the fleet. But it would be nice to get some more cars coming into the country, but they're starting to come through now, Glenn.
Great. And just one more question, if I may. That's a massive increase in automated bookings from 51 to 80% in August. Can you just give us a little bit more colour on what's driving that? Is that increased use of the app or improved speech recognition software or what is it?
Yeah, it's both. It's the app and it's the IVR, which is the voice recognition, which again helps us because one of the things I think I mentioned to you, which I was a bit concerned about when I joined, was our contact centre performance. And obviously, if we can digitalise bookings more and more and more, it cuts down the burden on the contact centre staff. 51% up to 80%. It's growing nicely. Growth in terms of the app, but growth in terms of IVR. So all of that actually helps us improve service to customers, but it also frees up the contact centre staff to actually deal with driver queries as well. So you get a benefit both in bookings, but also in more availability for contact centre people to talk to our drivers.
All right. Thanks for that.
Thanks for the questions.
Thank you. And our next question is from Ken Wagner from Petra Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Tom. Just a question for me on the potential changes in the regulatory environment that you're seeing, particularly as it pertains to your ability to compete with rideshare. Are you able to talk a bit about that, please?
Yeah, deregulation is actually good for us because it brings more vehicles into the fleet. Vic and WA have been deregulated for a while. There's been lots of discussion recently. Some of you may have been aware that there was a Ben Fordham interview, I think, last week with the Treasurer, basically putting pressure on him to let us know, when taxi plate owners were going to get recompensed. And I think he was quoted as saying it's now weeks, not months. We're very, very supportive of deregulation. first cab off the rank, pardon the pun, we think will be New South Wales. I'm hoping that it will, that the government will stick to what they're saying, and they'll recompense plate owners in a matter of weeks. And I think, as we've spoken before, that will be a precursor to actually opening up the market, which means that we'll see more driver operators, you know, coming in. And I think that helps us very much level the playing field with Uber. You talked about regulation. You know, there's been, I think Uber put out an announcement a number of weeks ago about what they wanted to do around treating their drivers as employees and the gig economy. You know, they made a comment with one of the unions as well. I think it was the Transport Union of Australia. If Uber are now recognising drivers as employees and having to recompense them for leave and sick leave and holiday leave and stuff, you know, someone's going to have to pay that cost. It will either come through in higher fares or lower takings for drivers. Again, it helps us level the playing field there because we don't have any of those issues. So, you know, a number of things are happening here which are making us more competitive with rideshare, which is good.
Yeah, thank you. That's very helpful. Just another question on the property sales. With the Melbourne property, appreciate it's not a large one, but is that still intended to be sold, or what's happening with that one?
Yeah, look, yes. But, I mean, yeah, out of the values that we've quoted, you know, which is in excess of 102 to 114 million, yeah, the Melbourne property is worth about 8 mil. You know, yeah, it's a small one. We want to concentrate on sort of where the gold is. Actually, I'll give you an update, because when we had the conversation sort of 6 weeks ago, I think I said that we were going to concentrate on selling the biggest property in Sydney, which is the O'Riordan Street property, because it's quite a dynamic market. What we wanted to do is, on those two properties, we wanted to go O'Riordan first and then Burke Road, Alexandria second. We're working with MA Financial and also Colliers, and these guys have done a fantastic job, actually. And that's all about to roll out tomorrow. There's a press release coming out from Colliers on that tomorrow. We've actually decided that we think it's now, on advice from MA Financial and also Colliers, to actually market the two in tandem, because they do, each property will probably attract different buyer groups. So we've made the decision to go with both of them as opposed to going O'Riordan Street first and Burke Road later. So that obviously helps with the timing, and one doesn't cannibalise the other as such. And there's a recent sale that's just gone through very, very close to here. I think that's in the process of completing. You know, and we had some intel from our advisors on that. You know, and the prices that are going on that settlement are very much in line with what we've quoted to the market. So, you know, we have a very real property sale within a few hundred metres of here that's very much underpinning those valuations, which is good.
Yep, no, that sounds great. Just probably last question for now. I think the just post the payment of your special dividend, what's your appetite for holding any debt on the balance sheet, or are you planning on being debt-free post that?
Look, we'll have to kind of work out, you know, how we feel about that at the time. I mean, we will have a working capital facility with CommBank. You know, I think it makes sense for us to have, you know, some kind of debt facility there. But it will be far diminished from what it is at the moment.
That's the 25 mil one you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, and that will be secured on debtors.
Yep, yeah. Got it. Okay. All right. Great. Look, thanks very much.
Thanks,
well done.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I'll now turn the call back to Mr. Bayliss for closing remarks.
Thank you very much. And thank you, everyone, for attending. I know we're going to be talking to some of you over the course of the next few days. But thank you. Appreciate you taking the time this morning. We'll speak to you very soon. Thank you.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect your lines.